Hi, everyone. Welcome to Every Great Adventure Begins as a Dream, a podcast where I inspire you to get out there and see the world. I'm Donna, a baby boomer and somewhere in the vicinity of being a senior citizen. I spent nearly 20 years as a professional travel counselor helping thousands of people see the world. Prior to that, I was in the U.S. Navy, ultimately attaining the rank of commander. My first duty station was in Neamakri, Greece. Now that was a great adventure. I was truly living the dream. Although I've traveled a lot, there's still a lot of world out there for me to see. Since I'm not getting any younger, I've got to keep going to see as much as I can before I can't. So, let's dream together and plan our next great adventure. For more inspiration, you can follow me on my blog at everygreatadventure.com, where you can also see my travel photos. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest as Every Great Adventure. Of course, you can always reach me by email. My address, Donna@everygreatadventure.com. I'm sure you're wondering, just what did I mean by that title, Family Travel with the In-Laws, Cue Laughter? Do I mean laughter as in who would ever consider such a thing as traveling with their in-laws? No, what I mean is that when we travel with the in-laws, we always have fun and lots of laughter. Of course, you need to remember that in-laws are comprised of more than mother and father-in-law. There are brother and sister-in-laws as well. We often travel with family members. My mother and brother used to go on cruises with Art and I in the past. Now my husband's brothers and their wives often travel with us. In fact, we take a brother's trip every 3 years, where all four brothers and their wives go on vacation together. Unfortunately, 2020 was our year for a brother's trip, so we ended up not doing anything because of COVID. A lot of people tell me that they can't travel with their family members, and I applaud that they realize that before they make the attempt. We sort of came upon it gradually and found that it worked for us. The first time that some of us traveled together was for a nephew's wedding in Tampa. Two of the brothers, Art and his youngest brother, Ken, booked a condo for our families to share. There was lots of laughter and a few misadventures, but we had a great time. A lot of catchphrases came out of this trip. A few years later, one of Art's sons was living in Italy. We decided to go and visit him and his family and asked if two of the other brothers would like to join us. Both brothers and their wives said yes. Art's son lived near Venice, but we thought since the others hadn't been to Italy before, we would visit some of the other highlights of Italy as well. We began in Venice and ended in Rome. Now, we were trying to keep the cost of this trip down, so we traveled in March when the weather was still pretty chilly. We stayed in Mestre, outside of Venice, rather than in Venice itself. We stayed in 3-star hotels in both Mestre and Florence, and we stayed in a 2-bedroom apartment in Rome. What an adventure this trip turned out to be. Lots of unexpected twists and turns along the way, and they started right from the get-go. Our flight to Venice went fine, but one of Patrice's suitcases didn't arrive with us. It was 2 days before her bag showed up. She did have some clothes with her, so it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Although we had travel insurance, she really couldn't find the type of clothes she wanted, so she ended up not buying anything. Our first night in Mestre, we wanted to find some place fairly quick and easy to eat. We walked quite a bit before we finally found a place. Now, March is not really tourist season, and let's say this restaurant would have been happier if we had just walked by, but we didn't. The waiter didn't speak any English, we didn't speak any Italian, but the menu had pictures, so we just went with that. It was an okay meal, but definitely not what you expect in Italy. I think the waiter couldn't wait for us to leave. Then the next morning, Cindy's hair dryer blew up. Seriously, the way things were going, why on earth would these folks ever want to go anywhere with us again? We boarded the train in Mestre for the short ride to Venice, where we were to meet up with Art's son and grandson. Our plan was to tour Venice on our own and take a gondola ride. The train was almost to Venice when I realized I didn't bring the vouchers for the gondola. This was prior to electronic vouchers, so I had no choice but to go back and get them. Once we got to the train station in Venice, I told the rest of the group to go on. I'd go back to the hotel, get the vouchers, and meet them in St. Mark's Square. So back on the train I went. got to the hotel, retrieved the vouchers, and returned to the train station. I was sitting on the train, and the departure time came and went. We were finally told that due to demonstrators on the tracks, the train was being canceled, but we could go over to the bus and use our ticket there. As we did have cell phones, I was able to let the others know what was going on, and I'd be there as soon as I could. It turned out this wasn't the worst part of my adventure. Next, I had to figure out how to get from the Venice train station to St. Mark's Square. I knew where I was starting from and my destination, but trying to figure out how to get there was next to impossible. There is no direct way anywhere in Venice. The streets are not well marked, and the map I had wasn't the best either. I walked into a Hilton hotel to see if I could get someone there to help me, and they were very inhospitable. I finally ended up going into a camera shop, and the guy there was at least able to show me where I was on the map. It seemed like it took forever, but I finally found my way to the rest of the group. Fortunately, our gondola ride went off without a hitch. We had a great time with our little grandson, too. We spent the day touring Venice and were tired tourists when we got back to our hotel. The next day, we went up to the little town where Art's son lived and spent the day with him, his wife, and grandson. Pordenone is a lovely town. We had such a nice visit, including lunch with pizza all around. We sadly said our goodbyes at the train station as we headed back to Mestre for our final night. For our last dinner in Mestre, we decided to go to the seafood restaurant next to our hotel. Our waiter told us the specials for the day, and the guys all decided to get the redfish, which was apparently a specialty and only available at certain times of the year. I have no idea what we ladies had. All I remember was the shock when we got the bill. It was well over $300. What on earth did we eat that cost so much? Turned out it was the redfish. Lesson learned. Always ask the price of the special before you order it. The next morning arrived and we were on our train to Florence. The train was clean and comfortable. The trip was uneventful. We arrived at our hotel, where Art and I had actually stayed on a previous visit. We had asked for our rooms to be near one another, but only two of us were together. Unfortunately, Bill and Cindy were on a separate floor. Ken and Patrice's room was right next to ours. After we entered the rooms, we realized that we shared a balcony. We had all decided to take a little time to unpack and rest a bit before dinner. A short while later, there arose uncontrolled laughter from Ken and Patrice's room. The balcony doors were open, so we just called over for them to hold it down, but the laughter continued. It turned out their room had twin beds, which they had pushed together. They went to lie down for a bit, and the beds came apart, and one of them ended up on the floor. Hence the uncontrollable laughter. That night, we went to the restaurant across the street from our hotel. Oh my, did we make the right choice? For whatever reason, we all ended up ordering pizza. They were so good. At the end of the meal, they gave us little frozen limoncello shots, a perfect palate cleanser. We liked this restaurant so much, we went back there again the next night. On Sunday, we made a day trip to Pisa. Bill and Cindy had made arrangements with some acquaintances to meet up and go to church with them, so they were picked up at the train station. Patrice, Ken, Art, and I walked to the Pisa Cathedral. You know, the one that is known for its famous leaning bell tower. It's a huge church, and it was sad to see so few people there. Of course, the Mass was in Italian, but we were fine with it. After all, we'd all grown up going to Mass in Latin, so it was more like going back in time for us. The only difference was that we didn't understand the homily. But that was fine. We enjoyed it just the same. We took our obligatory pictures of the bell tower and spent a good part of the day walking around Pisa. It's a lovely town. Bill and Cindy love soccer. Bill's been a referee for many years. One of their dreams was to attend a real football game in Italy. Their friends in Pisa helped them get tickets to the game on Sunday afternoon. After they finished church, their friends kindly took them to the soccer stadium for the game. Their friend said it was probably just as well they didn't speak Italian, as the language at the games can be a little off color at best. They really did enjoy the game, though. We knew about what time the game was over and about what time Bill and Cindy would return to Florence. But the time came and went, and no Bill and Cindy. We started getting a little nervous that something might have happened to them. It turned out that since their friends drove them to the game, Bill and Cindy didn't think to get directions to the train station from the stadium. So they wandered around quite a bit before they finally found their way. But they did make it back to Florence, and all was well. We spent a lot of time walking around Florence. The city is beautiful. We did manage to make it to the Accademia Museum to see Michelangelo's famous statue of David. Later that day, Art and I walked up the hill on the other side of the river to the fort. Unfortunately, it was closed, but it was a nice walk up and back. One thing we found entertaining in Florence was to watch the unofficial vendors. They set their wares out on big sheets on the square. Then when the police would come, they would just grab the corners of the sheets, yank up all their goods, and run. It was pretty easy to figure out who not to purchase souvenirs from. Art and I recently watched the series Medici on Netflix. I have no idea how factual it was, but it was interesting to say the least, especially when they were working on finishing the cathedral. The Florence Cathedral, or Duomo as it's often called, is absolutely stunning, from the gilt gold doors of the baptistry to the green, pink, and white marble on the exterior. It's amazing to think that this building took 140 years to be completed. But I guess they did it right, because here it is, 584 years since it was completed, and it's still standing. I've not taken a formal tour of the church, but next time I'm in Florence, I'll be sure to put that on my itinerary. After a few days, many pizzas, and even more gelato, we were on our way to Rome for the last leg of our trip. We were really excited to get to Rome, as we had a Segway tour booked there. However, our stay in Rome did not go as expected. It all started with our arrival, which was too early for check-in at the apartment we rented. We did find a restaurant around the corner, much to the chagrin of the proprietress, who we later dubbed Mama. First of all, we tried to sit inside with our luggage, and Mama was having none of that. Mama spoke next to no English, but she could say no quite well and used a lot of sign language. The clear message was received that our luggage would have to stay outside, so we, along with our luggage, moved to a table outside. There was a lot happening during lunch. Art and I walked over to the apartment about two blocks away to wait for the leasing agent and get the key. While Patrice and Ken and Bill were moving luggage around, Patrice asked Cindy to order some wine for her. Well, Cindy, who doesn't drink, ordered a carafe of wine rather than a glass. As a result, Patrice and Ken had a little more wine than they were anticipating with lunch. In the meantime, Art and I were waiting for the agent. He began feeling unwell. We finally had the key to the apartment, went back to the restaurant, and ate lunch. Then all of us, along with our luggage, went to the apartment. Naturally, we were on the third floor of the building with no elevator, so it was challenging getting the luggage up the stairs, but we managed. The apartment was a two-bedroom unit. Art and I were going to sleep on the sofa bed in the living room. In one of the bedrooms, there was a double bed along with a single bed, and since Art was feeling worse, he went and lay down in the room with the single bed. A few of us went out and walked around a bit. The apartment was in a great location, literally three blocks from the Vatican. Later, when Art woke up, he wasn't feeling any better. In fact, by the time we were getting ready to go out for dinner, he was feeling so bad he decided he needed to go to the emergency room. The notebook in our apartment showed where the nearest emergency room was located, which appeared to be just about five blocks away. So he and I headed out in search of it, and the others went on to dinner. It did take us a while to find the hospital, even though it wasn't really that far away. It wasn't a straight shot, though. Finding the entrance wasn't easy either, but we did it. Now Art was feeling really bad. He was running a fever and had a sore throat. We sat in the waiting room for a while before we were finally called into the intake area. The person asked Art what his temperature was and what was his blood pressure. He didn't take them. He just asked him what they were. He spoke very little English, but enough. He made a copy of Art's passport. Then we were back to the waiting room. All of a sudden, Art asked me to feel his pulse. His heart was beating very erratically. It wasn't much longer before they came out to get Art and took him into the treatment area. The doctor asked Art what was wrong, and he said he had a really bad sore throat and fever, and by the way, his pulse didn't feel right. The doctor, who spoke English pretty well, listened to his chest and said, "Well, you may have a sore throat, but that's the least of your problems." Art's heart was in atrial fibrillation. Long story short, Art was placed in the cardiac care unit of the hospital for the next two nights. The hospital stay is a whole story in itself, and I plan on talking more about this experience in another podcast, so I won't go into too many details here. I got back to the apartment about 11 that night. We all went to bed knowing Art was in good care. The next morning was our Segway tour. The five of us, minus Art, made our way to the subway, got to the meeting point near the Coliseum, where we met our guide, Marcello. If you haven't done a Segway tour, I think they're great fun. Not everyone agrees with me, especially Cindy. But I have to give her credit. Although she wasn't thrilled with it, she did it. We all thought the tour was very good. We actually rode our Segways on the Circus Maximus, where the chariot races were held. Our tour included the Roman Forum and the Capitoline Hill. We stopped at the mouth of Truth and Cosmedin and went down a super steep hill into the traffic-filled streets of Rome. Okay, even I admit that was unnerving. Then down with some steps we went over to the Colosseum and finally back to our starting point. We only had one minor incident. Ken cut a corner too close and went down, but he wasn't hurt. Marcello was a wonderful guide. We really had a fun time. Cardiac Care had limited visiting hours twice a day. That afternoon, Patrice went with me to the hospital. They ended up doing a cardioversion on Art. That's where they shock the heart in an attempt to get it back into rhythm. Fortunately, it did work. They wanted to keep him for one more night just to make sure his heart stayed in the correct rhythm. That night, all of us went to visit, and we were nearly thrown out of the hospital for being so loud. The next day, we did our tour of the Vatican Museum and St. Peter's Cathedral. After that, I went over to the hospital, got Art, and we went back to the apartment. Not too long before we left for Rome, Art and I had stumbled upon a show on PBS about Tivoli and Villa d'Este, a World Heritage Site. We decided that might make a nice day trip while we were in Rome. Our last day in Italy, we got train tickets and headed up to Tivoli. I want to say it took about 45 minutes to an hour to get there once we were on the train. It was beautiful. The story is there was a cardinal who wanted to be pope but wasn't elected, so he went to Tivoli and built this beautiful place. I did look it up, and there is a lot more to the story than just that. Apparently, the property was already owned by the family of the cardinal. The fountains and gardens were stunning. The weather was absolutely perfect. We just had such a lovely day there. We headed back to Rome and made the obligatory stop at Trevi Fountain. I have to tell you, Art has a romantic side to him. He thought since we had all been married quite a while at this point, it would be fun for each of the guys to propose to their respective wives again at Trevi Fountain. He contacted each of his brothers and suggested they bring a ring with them for this purpose. It turned out to be a great idea. Oh, and the wives all said yes. They'd marry them all over again. Of course, we also threw our coins in the fountain to ensure we would one day return to Rome. Our last dinner was at Mama's restaurant. Mama was in a bad mood. She was apparently ready to close for the night, as when we came in, she immediately said, "No." But her daughter insisted that we be served. Mama and her daughter fought the entire evening. Mama was cleaning the silverware, and she would slam the utensils down into the container as she finished. It was quite the evening. Needless to say, "No" became another one of our catchphrases. We had an early pickup at our apartment, but there was a beautiful sunrise as we drove to the airport. Our flight home was uneventful. Bill, Cindy, Ken, and Patrice were great sports. Art and I wondered if they would ever travel with us again after all the things that happened on this trip. But they were really wonderful and handled all the issues well. I wish everyone could travel with family as we do. We continue to have wonderful travel adventures together to this day. There are times when Art and I enjoy traveling together, just the two of us, but we appreciate being able to travel with others on occasion. If you've always wondered if traveling with your family members would work, remember, just start small. A few family members at first, for just a couple of days. You may find that if you work up to it, your family members make great traveling companions. I hope you enjoyed our show today. If you did, be sure to share it with a friend. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest as Every Great Adventure. Visit my website at everygreatadventure.com, where you can sign up for my blog. Until next week, keep dreaming of your next great adventure.